I think there were two events. You're asking about the first event. The first event was 1984, when Judge Green offered his solution to what the SEC earlier had the so-called computer inquiry. In 83, FCC offered a solution, in 84, Judge Green offered a solution. The net effect of those two actions was to create a new environment in which R&D was done. But it did not affect what R&D was doing. In other words, research still needed to go after software issues and microelectronics issues and laser issues and fiber loss issues. Research was still pressing on those things. Electronics technology was still working to get better integrated circuits, better, more reliable lasers. We were working on lower loss fibers. We were working, still continuing to work on how to make energy systems more efficient, power supplies and the like more efficient, how to get backup energy to equipment out in the field, to back up the central offices so they don't go down, to control disasters such as fires and things. So, those things all continued. The market was pretty much the same too, because though AT&T had started buying equipment from general trade, a large fraction of the equipment in the divested RBOC, divested operating company, as well as AT&T, was from Washington Electric. And the divested companies were a major customer of Washington Electric, a major place where Bell Labs went, Bell Labs designed equipment went. So Bell Labs was still appropriately oriented around research and key technologies, electronics, the technology components, if you wish, technology, and switching systems and transmission systems and operation systems. And the business units came in to manage how to bring those to the market. Western Electric was basically invested in two business units, disappeared as an entity. But Bell Labs remained as an entity. And the same kind of work and the same kind of systems. I'm hard pressed to think of a single system that we stopped work on. Now, we being the R&D community, what is true, of course, is that with Judge Green's solution, the regional companies form their own R&D and even their own research under our advice. In fact, it's all done by AT&T, because the people were AT&T, so it was split. So we have Belcor, and Belcor did take over most of the R&D related to service for the operating companies, the so-called design of their network, the operation system supporting their network, things like that. But they were not an equipment design entity, so the local switching equipments and so forth were still designed in the laboratory made by the marketplace. So through the 1980s, and as a result of divestiture, the Bell Laboratories evolved the relationships under which it did much the same thing. But the work, people continued to do what they were doing, pretty much. With the normal evolution, of course, of why this became more important, with every year of priorities. But the average engineer working on the job saw their job continue. Now, it's true that the competitive environment put a little more pressure on cost and schedules, so we were always eating ourselves up for doing it faster, lower cost, and higher quality. But that was always the case, but I would say not with the intensity that divestiture brought into it. So it did bring the pressure, a little more pressure on time and cost, and probably forced a few more compromises. A little different mindset. It began to evolve more that the customer had to be a part of the process, whereas in the Bell System days, you got it right and then offered it to the customer. But the change in the R&D paradigm, that, you know, that was a change in the R&D environment. But the change in the R&D paradigm, the way in which R&D is done, came, I think, in the 90s, early 90s, as a maturing of the quality initiative, as much as anything else. Now, the quality initiative was born as a solution to competitiveness.